Lord Jesus, we pray for our fellowship tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for all the saints that have come together here. Open up your word to us, Lord Jesus, and give us spirit and life out of your mouth, Lord. We depend on you, Lord, and we trust you, Lord. Also, it is your church, Lord, for which you've given yourself. Speak to your churches, Lord Jesus. Bless your churches with your word, Lord Jesus. We sit at your feet and we want to learn from you.
Amen.
Yes, tonight we want to continue to be focused on the Lord. And also in this fellowship tonight, we want to come forward with courage, with boldness. The messages can be given because brothers have got prepared and have prepared themselves, but the Lord was not sought enough. Let us continue to seek the Lord. When we are at home, let us come to Him. Many things have been said about prayer. And I find it's important also to stress what was said already, that prayer is not a subject. It is what we are doing. And prayer means to come forward again and again to Him. And we bow our knees before Him. And I think Paul was a good teacher. He had everything to present the truth in a good way. And then in chapter 3, he says, therefore I bow my knees before the Father. How much more we need to bow our knees before the Lord, before the Father, and ask Him to strengthen us, that we may be strong to apprehend with all the saints. And the Lord will hear our prayers. This is wonderful. We don't pray into the air. We don't pray any predefined prayers. We pray with the confidence that the Lord hears us and that He hears everybody. Everybody. Have you realized that this all word all appears several times here, sometimes each one, but actually that's the same meaning. Verse 7 in chapter 4, to each one of you has been given the grace. So what is important is that the Lord needs everyone. He needs everyone who's sitting in the first row, but He also needs the one sitting in another row of chairs. Also those who attend online. To each one, the grace has been given. And we, several brothers, read some verses because we republished the book, The Normal Church Life. And we read in this book, and it's really impressive to see the concern for everybody. God needs everybody. If we speak about the body, that means everybody. That we speak about all believers, of course, that's clear, but all that the Lord has called into His body. We don't speak about a few. And some of you may think, now this morning we read, here it's written, apostles, prophets, evangelists, some teachers and shepherds. These are not all, right? Or how can you understand that? But I like what is written in verse 12, that the saints may be perfected unto the work of ministry, that we all may be perfected. For that the brothers serve, even though there are gifts, even though there are brothers spoken in this type who have more, 5 talents, who can serve some more. But at the end of the day, the important thing is that all the saints may be perfected. The focus is not that someone may be made great or that there is a team that can work together well, but the Lord needs all of us. And therefore, we consecrate ourselves. Therefore, we live a binding life and don't wait for another occasion. And we don't say, oh, let's start those who can do it very well, who can do better than me, or whatever we may think. But the Lord needs all of us, that the saints may be prepared. And this word perfecting or being equipped, I like it very much. Because, you know, sometimes we've got the concept, everybody has to learn. And this is also a word that we need to learn. But here, at this point, it means, here he talks about perfecting. If you tell someone you need to be perfected, what do you mean by that? He would ask you. This is a special word here. At least me, I primarily know this word from the kitchen. Well, to be prepared, it's said in German, and to prepare is in kitchen, in connection with food. And for that, you need several ingredients. You see that in Ephesians here. There is not just one ingredient. No food can be prepared with just one ingredient. Some dishes are made only from few ingredients, but, and sometimes we enjoy something special in the word, right? We enjoy love. Or we enjoy humility, or we enjoy meekness. But it's actually not just one ingredient. It is so much that the epistle to the Ephesians shows us to be perfected. And it's nice for us in a meeting to lay hold of one special point, like humility and meekness last night. And the Lord also wants to bring us on until we all get into these verses. But we need to be perfected. All this in order to be perfected, made from different ingredients. And what is interesting is also that you cannot reverse this process of preparation. Before, I thought when we make a simple bread from water and flour, and then when you make it small and you grind it, then it will become flour again. But it's not like that. Maybe it's then grated bread. But something got prepared. A process got started. Which has another quality, a different quality. The Lord is working. And that's the way also how he wants to prepare us. Like he prepared Moses there at that time in the Old Testament. He used the circumstances. But it was not only the circumstances. But the Lord used them to work in him. And that way, the same way he also wants to prepare us. Perfecting us for the building up of the body of Christ. And as it was said, this is a work which has a clear goal, the building up of the body of Christ. Actually, not that difficult, right? And then in verse 13, he says, until we all arrive. Again here, all arrive. And this word, to arrive, this is also a remarkable word. I dug a little bit because it interested me what that word means in Greek and where it is also used. And, for example, it is also used in Acts, when the brothers went to go on trips and journeys, and when they reached their goal, when they arrived in Ephesus, we arrived at Ephesus, is written in Acts. And this is exactly that word that is used here, that is to arrive. It is a way on which we arrive at the oneness of the faith, until we all arrive at the oneness of the faith. Let me look back to the beginning of chapter 4 of Ephesians. What does he say there? There he speaks about oneness already, right? Oneness, where does he speak about oneness? The young brothers, young sisters who paid attention. The oneness of the Spirit. In the second part of the epistles to the Ephesians, it's the oneness of the faith. But here at the beginning, it is the oneness of faith. And from this oneness of faith, Paul says, hold fast to it. Ephesians 4, verse 3, it says, being diligent to keep the oneness of the Spirit. So that means here at the beginning of the chapter, it is stressed very much that oneness was created, but the Lord created oneness through his death and through his resurrection, which no one can separate. He said, one body. The Lord. Durch die eine Hoffnung, durch den Herrn, ein Gott und Vater, one God and Father. So here a oneness was created that has a wonderful basis. On the one hand, it is the work of the Lord. But I would like to put it that way, it's actually the Lord finally himself. He is the oneness. Without the Lord, there is no oneness. Without what he has done, what he's still doing today, there is no oneness. On the whole world, you can observe that there are many companies. Well, it works more or less, but no one speaks about oneness. But the oneness of the Spirit, that's what the Lord created. Here we could stop now, right? Wouldn't it be enough to have the oneness of the Spirit? Just hold fast to it. Hold it and stick to it. That's all. But the other side is that we have to arrive. He's speaking about growth later on. So we have to arrive at something by growing. We have to go on this journey of the apostles, of the brothers in Acts. There is still a way. They had to go away. There is a way of oneness. How does it go on? He says, the oneness of faith. The oneness needs faith. Without faith, it is impossible. Without faith, you may reach a point where you say, oneness is not possible. If I look around, I say, well, how is oneness possible? But we need faith. What is the definition of faith?
Amen. Glaube nun.
Faith now, in Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substantiation. In the vision, didn't we write something about vision and reality? How is the vision made real? I would like to say, put it that way, through faith. Through faith, it is impossible. But with faith, we can enter into that reality. The way Lord has a way to make the oneness visible among us and to lead us on. And may the Lord be gracious also to perfect us in that. Through faith, it is possible. Faith now is the substantiation of things hoped for. You know Hebrews 11. Many of you may know that. We don't have the time to read that. But here he stresses that the visible things are something different from what the Lord does. Abraham, the father of faith, he was in a completely different country. He was in a completely different culture. The Lord had to call him out, first of all, from his country. Then he went out, and then he came to that country, to the destiny and destination, and in faith he lived there. He stayed there in a tent. Can you imagine that? There is a promise. And that promise is fulfilled now when Abraham came to that country. But then Hebrews says also, Abraham lived in that country. He waited for the city that has the promises, that has the foundations, the creator and builder and creator is God. This is mysterious. How Abraham walked with God in faith. And that way, the oneness also needs our faith. Or Noah is a good example also. What did Noah do? He heard the word of God and he built the ark. And at that time, there was not enough water to build a ship, actually, around him where he lived. And judgment still being far away, he built the ark in faith, the oneness of faith. And here, the basis is not what we see, but what the Lord shows, what he's doing, and the way that he's leading us. You see, there are so many visible things that are against oneness. Only these 2,000 years of church history. So some people say later on when the Lord will come back, there will be the oneness. But what did we read in Ephesians 3, verse 10, that now through the church, the Lord wants to build the church now. He wants to produce this oneness now with all those who want to cooperate, with all those who go this way in faith, not with the ones that are especially strong, not with the ones that whatever they do, but those who go that way in faith. Sometimes people said, isn't that a bit arrogant? 2,000 years showed that it didn't work, and so now you want to keep the oneness? Yes, what are we looking to? Are we looking at 2,000 years of church, of Christian history? Or do we look unto the Word and the Spirit and all the Lord has done and accomplished and what He wants to do today? The Lord today seeks faith. He seeks the ones who keep the oneness and hold fast to it in faith. Faith, there would have been much to say about faith. But let me continue, not just go beyond a little bit beyond the words, the first words of Ephesians 12 and 13. Paul goes on to the oneness of faith. And then he says that this is also the oneness of faith and the full knowledge of the Son of God. You remember the black box from the first meeting? Some people could not see it well in the camera. There were these glass plates were on there in that little box. They were put there in a very good row and sequence and were tidied up nicely, better than on my desk. Was a nice order, right? But we saw that this order was not sufficient because each of these individual plates was not glass plates was not sufficient to contain the fullness. Yes, a oneness, the oneness of all those two orderly put glass plates. I would like to compare it to a human order in which everything is organized well, in which everything is arranged well. The other day, someone told me about his meeting, about his service, Sunday morning service, and he said, everybody knows what is going on. Everybody knows the sequence. Everyone, we know that who will say what at what time. Everybody's nicely and neatly ordered, tidied up, let's say. And he came to the church life and had a time here. He enjoyed it here, and he enjoyed to be free from this human organization of the predefinition by human order, but to grow into Christ in a free way until we all arrive at the oneness of the faith, at the full knowledge of the Son of God. This oneness is not organized. It's a oneness that consists in the person of the Lord, in the Son of God himself. Therefore, the hymn that we have sung, the last, that was coming forward, we need that in the meeting, we need that in the church life, that we come to him, that together we seek the Lord. This is the guarantee for our oneness. Even when we serve, let's seek him together. Yes, we need to clarify practical things and then do them. But first of all, we need to give the preeminence to the Lord, and we seek him. We seek to know him. So when we come together, we often start with prayer, with fellowship, in order to receive something from Christ. And this is a good factor for oneness, to keep the oneness, is to come together to the Lord. Also, in small things, when we are together to have hospitality, to give hospitality, to receive hospitality, it's nice to come together to the Lord. Yes, maybe humanly speaking, we fit well together. We've got the same hobbies, the same attitudes, and so on. It's nice, but the oneness at the end, what does it consist of? It is the knowledge of the Son of God. Laying hold of the Lord together. This is what is oneness. The other things is also not bad. Good food is better than bad food, let's say. It's good. Or a good guest room is also nice. But if it's not that nice, it's also an opportunity to come to the Lord. May you've got a bed that is different than from your bed at home. What do you do in that case? Oh, Lord, we seek the Lord. We come to him. And what I want to say, what is important in the church life is to come to the Lord. There may be heights, there might be maybe depths. Many things may not work so well, but as long as we stick to the Lord, there is a way for oneness. as long as we seek Him together. Lord Jesus.
Lässt sich's gut den Herrn erkennen. Deswegen sind wir hier so viele zusammen. Deswegen ist auch schön nach der Versammlung zusammen zu sein.
Now it's nice to be together after the meeting and to seek the Lord together and to lay hold of Him together. The Lord likes to reveal Himself there. There are verses from the first epistle of John where John testifies of how he treasures and appreciates this fellowship with the Lord so much. He says he even touched Him. He tasted the word of life. He laid hold of something and he announces this to others. And this fellowship, this knits us together to dispense something that we've received from the Lord. What we have laid hold of the living Christ and to speak it out. And you know something? One word sometimes is the igniting flame that ignites the flame. Something, you read something, maybe you take it in prayer, and sometimes it's just illuminated. It's springing up in your heart. Together with the young students, high schoolers, we were together one day, and we talked about the wise person, the wise man who built his house and digging to the depths and building his house on the rock. And we read those verses. And in Luke, there is written three things what is characteristic of this man. That means to come to Him. Number two, to hear His word. And number three, to do His word. This hearing and doing, it was quite present to me, but to come to Him, it was springing up in my heart. It was illuminated in my heart to come to Him. And then these three words, to come to Him, this became life to me. And this life brings us into fellowship, not the one only who tasted that word, but only also those who hear it, depending on what the Lord spoke to each one. Praise the Lord for the knowledge of the Son of God and the fellowship in this knowledge. At a full-grown man, the full-grown man. Who is this full-grown man? Is it the Lord? Is it the new man? Is that Christ and the church? I'll leave it open tonight. Leave that question open. Maybe someone wants to give a testimony afterwards, or afterwards, after the meeting, discuss that with the saints around him. I'd like to say something to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Here is a measure. A measure of the stature. In Romans 12, it is said, the measure of faith. Let's read that verse together, maybe. Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace given to me to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to be sober-minded, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Measure of faith. What is our measure? Perhaps there is no unique answer. This morning we had the thing of the talents, maybe one or maybe five. But the important thing is that each one received a measure of faith. Don't dig it up. We all need to be active. If many that have just got one talent are missing, then we will not be able to go on. This is, would really be miserable. Then there will be always a lack in the church life.
Oh, Herr Jesus. Und wenn es jemanden gibt, der über sein Maß hinausgeht,
and if there is someone who passes far beyond his measure, this is also not good. No one should go beyond his measure. Sometimes someone goes beyond his measure because he thinks too highly of himself. Maybe he is plagued by arrogance. But sometimes someone feels it's necessary to be active beyond measure because there is a lack. Because some are not active, or too many are not active enough. And brothers and sisters, I tell you, we also have a responsibility for those who have a larger measure, that they don't need to go beyond their measure because we don't serve. Maybe we just wait for one brother and we say we need this brother or these several brothers. Don't do that. Later on, we'll see verses that show us how that ends. If people are at the forefront, are at the center, and that they went over their measure. I cannot say when this will happen. Each one has to give us a sensation when this would happen. At one point, Paul says, brothers who served well, what does he say? They should be held worthy of twofold honor. And you may think, well, there is one who receives twofold honor. I say twofold honor is the maximum that you should get. So in the church life, we give someone in the church life maximum twice the honor than the simplest sister. That is the measure of faith. Maybe it's a bit mathematical. But, brothers and sisters, we don't give honor to people. It's good that we have brothers and sisters who are faithful and have been in the church for a long time. They went this way with the Lord for a long time. They gave themselves to the Lord. They are role models. And you should listen twice if they say something to you. This is healthy as well. But then that's it. No 5 times or 50 times or 100 times the honor. No, this is not possible. According to the measure of faith, according to, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. And we come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of God, fullness of Christ. We go step by step, and it is good to stick closely to the word. Let's now come to the measure of the stature. Here you see some growth. And what is growing? It's only possible for living things to be growing. Chairs cannot grow. Each time you come to the meeting, they're all the same. Only if you put them in the rain, expose them to rain, they would be destroyed. But growing always has got something to do with life, with a life supply. Something dead cannot grow. If oneness grows, or if we grow unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, we need life. We need the living God, and we need the rich supply of life. Otherwise, nothing will grow. You can try to organize things well and to make up for some lack. But at the end of the day, to reach some growth, you need life. You need the rich supply. You need the Lord himself. You need to have this concern, Lord, I want to grow. Lord, let the church grow unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then we will grow into Christ. The fullness is the Lord himself. It's not anything far-fetched, but it is finally the fullness, his body, the fullness of the one who fills all and in all. Lord Jesus, make us grow to the measure of the stature. And then verse 14. That we may be no longer babes. The growing has got to do with the fact that we get away from the stage of being babes and growing unto being adults, being mature, no longer babes. I'd like to point your attention to this here. He says, to one at a full-grown man, this is singular, and then he speaks about babes, that we may no longer be babes. So, from a grammatical point of view, it is correct to say that children grow to be men. We are children first, and then we grow up to be men, to be adults. But why does he speak about children in the plural, but about one full-grown man? Here, when he speaks about babes, he speaks about something negative, but someone minor of age. If someone is like a child, something's not right. As a child, you can do anything you like. What you've decided yesterday, tomorrow it'll be different, and the profession that you got a year ago, you will change again, and a child has planned everything and done everything, done different things. But when you grow up, then you decide, you take a decision, you go away, and it's no... He's not tossed. It's not that changing anymore. We take decisions with the Lord, of course, and then we go that way. As it was said, we don't wait until the last moment. If there is something better, we decide, take a decision with the Lord, give ourselves to him. If someone gets married, he takes a decision for his whole life. Isn't that wonderful? Of course, it's a responsibility, and many things may happen in the meantime. But we've got the Lord, we've got faith, and we take a step with him. And if we have taken that step, we stick to it. This is the way of the Lord, the way that the world shows with all these fluctuations and this and that is not the way of the Spirit. The way of the Spirit is quite straight. It's a decision to consecrate yourself and then to stick to it. Not because we are very strong, especially strong, but because we've got grace. Now, babes and the full-grown man. These children, these babes, in plural, I think they also stand for a lack of oneness. There are still many. It's like if you go up into the children's meeting, there is a whole number of children. But this number, these many, they grow into one full-grown man. May the Lord grant us to grow. Paul speaks to the Corinthians and he speaks about being childish. What does he say in 1 Corinthians 3:1? He says, "And I, brothers, was not able to speak to you as to spiritual, but as to fleshy, as to infants in Christ." Here, children are compared to fleshy people. "I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not then able to receive it." At the beginning, it's quite normal. He who starts out on his Christian life, he needs good milk. He needs food that helps him and that is dispensed to him, that is given to him. There are people who help him. Isn't that wonderful? Some in our family, someone who helped us to become a Christian. The word was brought to us in a simple way, to read, to pray, and to be nourished. But then he tells them, now also you're not able because you're still fleshy. After years later, probably after years, Paul reproaches them that they are still babes, still children. They are believers, but they have not grown. What does he say? What's the problem? "For whereas there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly and walking according to man?" So human. So the flesh became manifested. Because for whenever one says, "I am of Paul," and another, "I of Apollos," are you not men? Yes, here again are human beings, men. They were not only here people who were serving, there were believers who were referring to these human beings, to these men. And this is not nice. In the church life, we don't refer, we are not based and focused on man. Yes, someone helped us to believe. We can be thankful a whole life, all our life for that, but we don't refer to that person. We are not based and focused on that person. We don't say, "Where he goes, I will go also." Please don't. Thank the Lord that he brought you to the Lord, but then follow the Lord. Don't follow a person as good as he may have served you. What does it say here? "I am of Apollos. I am of Paul." He says in verse 5, "What then is Apollos? And what is Paul? Ministers through whom you believed." And how? "Even as the Lord gave to each one." Sometimes we see the person, but actually it was the Lord who gave you to believe. We see the brother who served, but actually the Lord has given it. And we should stick to the Lord. We don't focus on men. "I have planted, Apollos as watered, but God made to grow." This is our firm foundation, the living God himself. And he gives growth. Here it speaks about growth. Yes, this was something that was missing also in Ephesus and also here in Corinth. We see that God gives growth. So therefore, sometimes a lack of growth also means a lack of sticking to the Lord, of to be centered too much on people. This should not be like that, neither in good situations nor in bad situations. May the Lord grant us much light and much wisdom. Finally, God gives growth, so that neither is the one who plants anything nor the one who waters, but the one who makes to grow, God. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one. Are one. This is the nicest, if all that serve are one. If we are all one. If no one builds up his own work. No one destroys this oneness in any way. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each one shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Lord Jesus. Oh, it's 9 o'clock already. Still 2 minutes. So he says, we should be no longer babes, tossed by waves and carried about by every wind of teaching in the sleight of man, in craftiness with a view to a system of error, which leads to a system of error. No longer be tossed and carried about. Do you know trends? Fashion trends, for example? There is always a color of the year, a color of this summer, a color or several color of this winter, a trend. Some follow it, this trend, some like it, some don't. Well, it's all, everything's okay. But, you know, sometimes in the religious world there are also trends. This is the trend today. Have you read this book already? Have you seen this film already? Watched this film? There's a film that has many likes right now. This is according to the trend, in line with the trend. But interestingly enough, those things that are in line with the trend, all those who are older know those trends, they know, recognize some pieces of garment, some clothes, they recognize that from being worn 30 years ago. I don't want to disappoint anyone who thought he has got the latest fashion. No, you laugh. In the religious world, sometimes it's the same way. Things come back again and again. 30 years ago, they came here. They were tossing about everybody. Many were tossed by that. And then they disappeared. And suddenly, that trend reappears. It's trendy again. The Lord may give us grace also to look through all that. Let's rather stick to the word of the truth, because it will remain and has got the promise to bring us to the goal. It is full of spirit and full of life. Whenever we come to the Lord, let's stick to it and hold fast to it and be firm, be established through grace, that we no longer be maybe babes tossed and carried about by waves. It is good to be established by grace. It is good if everybody is established and confirmed by faith. Maybe tonight or tomorrow morning you would like to read the verses about being established and firm, firmly attached. The Lord wants to firmly attach us to himself. And then we are also firmly attached to the one and in the one. And this one new man will be made manifested. Praise the Lord. I'd like to